For 91.3 WKY News, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on medicine. As everyone should know by now, the opiate epidemic has hit Kentucky particularly hard. My guest today is going to talk about a program that looks to mitigate some of the damage that is being done by this epidemic. I recently had a chance to speak with Dr. Hilary Surratt, Associate Professor in the UK Center for Health Services Research, about a new study looking at injection drug use and needle exchange programs in an attempt to mitigate the damage from hepatitis C and HIV infection. Tell me a little bit about this grant and perhaps what the aims of the study are.
Sure. So it's a two-year grant, and it's funded by National Institutes of Health. And it's really to understand this rollout, which is fairly recent, the rollout of syringe exchange programs in rural counties in Kentucky. And I have two broad aims for the study. And it's really designed to be a mixed methods approach. So I'm going to do survey interviews with 350 people who inject drugs across these three different counties. And it's designed to understand in a broad way what their barriers are to utilizing these programs. Are there structural barriers, individual level barriers, community level barriers, and how we might address them? And then the second aim brings in a wider range of stakeholders. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking to law enforcement folks, public health, substance abuse treatment people across the community to get their thoughts about how we might use the findings to actually change policy. Mm-hmm. So perhaps look at the structural issues going on with syringe exchange programs and understand how we can broaden it to make it more accessible for folks.
And I know a lot of our listeners already know this, but can you sort of give me the elevator speech of why clean needle exchange is a good thing?
Sure. And I would say also that we know this is fairly recent in the state of Kentucky. I believe it was 2015 when the legislation was passed that authorized these programs for the first time. But syringe exchange in other states has been in existence for quite a long time. And there's really good research showing the health benefits of syringe exchange, not only at the individual level, but from a public safety perspective as well. You find that in communities where there is syringe exchange, you have less unsafe disposal of needles in community settings. And we also know that the impact on HIV infection in particular has been well documented, that it actually is highly protective to have this sort of intervention. And so there's good research, but the unique thing about what we're doing here now is that most of that research has been in urban locations. So there's not a good body of research to understand how these programs are implemented in rural settings and whether the findings from all this urban research actually apply in a rural context, or whether folks in rural settings have unique barriers that we need to be thinking about and changing policy to address.
I think that's been one of the biggest sea changes in the course of my career, is that opiate addiction disorder and other drugs tended to be at least statistically more in major urban areas.
Yes.
When I first started in school and training and that sort of thing. And now, I think for me as a forensic pathologist, I started noticing around 99, 2000 that many of the 58 counties in central and eastern Kentucky that our medical examiner's office covers started to see quite an uptick in rural deaths.
Absolutely, and I think that's been the unique thing about the prescription opioid epidemic, that actually it had its birth, so to speak, in many rural places. It was unique in that sense, in that it actually emerged more fully initially in rural locations, not just in Kentucky, but in Maine and other states. And so, there's been a lot of hypothesizing and theorizing about exactly why that was. Certainly accessibility to like the illicit drug market traditionally was lower in rural counties. And there was a culture generally of prescribing opioids in rural counties. And that sort of, and actually that's still true today. So we still see, if you look at within Kentucky, if you look at CASPER data, if you look at Kiprick data, things that they produce, you see still higher rates of opioid prescribing in rural counties. So it was sort of had its, it was born there and continues to be entrenched in rural areas. And so it's interesting to see now how these syringe exchange programs will sort of interact in that setting.
I'm speaking today with Dr. Hilary Surratt of the UK Centre for Health Services Research about a new study looking at injection drug use and needle exchange programs in an attempt to mitigate the damage from hepatitis C and HIV infection. And is this study, this grant, a discrete proposal, or is this the beginning of perhaps a process of more studies going down the road?
So I'm hoping it's the latter. So I'm hoping that this is a two-year kind of exploratory study, but I'm hoping that it will lead to a larger study and that we can take the findings from this and actually develop it into a larger proposal where we touch more counties, collect more data, more systematic, broader base of data. Mm-hmm. And actually perhaps my real hope is that we could do some intervention. So that's what I've done a lot in the past. So what I'm really thinking about is using these health department sites and getting folks linked to the syringe exchange, not only for that, but it can be a great linkage point to get folks connected to substance abuse treatment, medication-assisted treatment, and other services that they really need and would benefit from. And I think that's especially important in rural counties because the services are not as available. And so if you can utilize that as kind of a referral point, so a person who's disconnected from healthcare comes into that program, over time they get to know and trust the staff and they can talk to them about issues that are going on, and it becomes a great way to connect them with other services.
And I guess as an outgrowth of this, or perhaps this might be one of the main goals of the study, it's not just perhaps looking at those who are in the throes of addiction disorder, but also educating the community. I mean, we know a lot of canards that still exist out there that, oh my goodness, this is going to facilitate addiction or
right.
You know, that type of thing that well-meaning people sometimes tend to perseverate upon. And I guess, is there going to be any education of leaders of the community that about how this is a good thing for the public health?
I think one of the exciting parts of the study is that we're going to involve those different kinds of community stakeholders. So I'm going to interview law enforcement and lots of local folks, treatment providers, health department folks. But the idea of that is gathering their feedback, but also presenting data to them at their regular meetings, for example, and community forums, so that they can see, you know, the results of the study in terms of what the actual clientele is reporting as barriers, and use that as a forum to involve them in how we could possibly potentially improve uptake and those kinds of things. So it's kind of to bring everybody to the table, because you need everybody to be involved, and you're absolutely right. This is an issue that's somewhat controversial, and people have very strong feelings on all sides of it in terms of, I mean, some folks have moral issues or philosophically, you know, don't agree with syringe exchange. And so, but I will say that in these counties, some of that has been overcome by the very fact that they've been approved, because these programs have to be approved at the local level. And so, you know, I would consider that already very beneficial. So folks are already seeing, like, you know, we recognize that we have this problem in our community, and we understand that it's a individual health issue going on for some people, but also that it's a community issue. And I think the public safety argument, which is actually very legitimate in terms of syringe, you know, unsafe syringe disposal, has swayed a lot of people to realize that, hey, you know, this type of programming may not be such a bad thing. But, you know, it's just a matter of respecting everybody's stance on the issue, but trying to produce some data that actually helps inform the debate so that everybody can clearly see what's taking place and see the benefits of it. That's really my ultimate goal. So.
Is there anything we've not discussed that you would want our listeners to know about vis-a-vis the study?
simply that, I mean, we all hear in the news, I think, on a daily basis, especially in Kentucky, about the opioid epidemic, and it's impacting a lot of people, and a lot of families and a lot of communities are really suffering from that. This is one small study, but it's, you know, I think it's important that we all are taking the steps that we can in the field where we work to try to improve the situation, and there are a lot of really great people that I know here at UK and more broadly across the state that are really doing great work. So I really think that collaborating on this study with health departments and their willingness to collaborate with us in these counties is going to be able to push the science forward, but also push forward the impact on public health.
My thanks today to Dr. Hilary Surratt, UK Center for Health Services Research, regarding her study looking at mitigating the effects of HIV and hepatitis C by using needle exchange programs in rural communities. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky. He volunteers his time to bring important medical news to the community. You can hear more of his programs at wuky.org.